interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 664. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. And this is donation season for all of you that can, in either content or cash, as we can continue to move this thing along. I understand more things are happening behind the scenes. It's building. It's just taking a while. And it's being tested, and that's taking a little while, but it is happening. And finally, and getting it all working out, and again, will be a nice place, hopefully, to receive more hosts. And that's the content part. You can provide your content to us, the listeners, on this network. And in the future, it's going to be a place to, one of the hybrid places to be reaching content that people who are listening will select. And I'm hoping that that project's ongoing, and we will be able to get this thing a little bit more into the sewers, as it were, in order to keep the controls off. And they're getting more and more. I was really amazed at how this thing is developing so quickly with the Linux distros and the laws that are saying you got to have age verification. And I'm still here to tell you, I want to know who those people are that can presume me to be a minor and not be an adult, if you will, the insect that I is. Where is it that they get to make us criminals, not capable, incapable? And then, in that incapacity, expect that we would be telling the truth. Is this the whole thing that's on its head? And this is the future that they want as they track and trace. Again, they want government ID, and that's the whole point there. That government ID is for the United States real ID, and it's worse than that. But the difference that people don't seem to make, even Thomas Massey, I was surprised to even hear him say, oh, it's just getting ID. There's nothing different. No, there is. A real ID has obligations attached that state ID doesn't, even though most people don't understand state ID, even just ID, not driver's license, but ID, all comes from the same commerce department in the state, and you're doing making a living off the highway. That's what all that's about. It's all the same department, and commerce is regulated by the federal government, and so there's your connection, on top of the fact that they use federal funds. Getting back to the real ID, and this is the other thing that astonishes me, people that I thought would know better, trying to get, oh, we got to be ID'd so we can go vote. Well, there's two problems right off there. And again, this real ID, they make you have government ID before it'll work for you. And then if you notice, the ICE is telling you they don't really recognize anything. People aren't putting this together. I don't know what to tell them. This is a bunch of main problems that said this thing went off the rails. And at least in America, we were supposed to be a whole lot more organized and a lot more aware on how to start heading it off. But the future that they want is on our doorsteps, and quickly so. I'm really, even though I could tell you it's coming and fast and it don't blink, I'm still astonished that it's still coming within the blink almost. And on schedule, remember, they have all kinds of these little dates that they've told us. But it's not just European Union nation demanding you exist sustainably developed, where it is reported that Ursula von der Leyen said, no fuel, no fertilizer, no food, and that, quote, the cheapest food is the food you do not eat, close quote, in the context of food security. If you remember, I've been talking about that since a decade and a half. Coming on us, already in the system of the United States. You think that the reset, that great reset, went anywhere? I can keep telling you, no, the UN agenda, why Europe is likely not protecting its product shipping coming through the Strait of Hormuz as Trump blockades the blockade so that no energy gets through and China shows up to counter-blockade that unblockade of the blockade of the enemies of Iran. Chevron executive Andy Walls suggests Americans should drive less amid high gas prices. The top Chevron executive has a blunt suggestion for Americans frustrated by the climbing gas prices. Quote, drive less, close quote. Andy Walls, who oversees the company's refining and chemical operations, tells CBS News that people should cut back on their time behind the wheel and, quote, conserve energy, close quote. Boy, harkening back to the 70s, as I told you we would, isn't it true? I thought the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was supposed to happen. Is that on the horizon again, too? But conserve energy, he says, as fuel costs surge like some pandemic in the wake of the war with Iran. Why is it like that, though? Shipments through the Strait of Hormuz, a waterway key to about one-fifth of the planet's global oil and gas, has dropped sharply since the conflict began in late February, pushing Brent crude to around $100 a barrel. So, and these numbers are off. They're changing so fast. Don't worry about it if this sounds like it's old news or new news. It's dropped now since we even discussed this stuff down to 80 on a lie, a market manipulation by Trump. But let's get back to the story. And you see the big corporations keep pushing the sustainable development angle of all this. And I keep trying to pull out nuclear glowing and energy starved. An alien invaded. They were still kind of seeing that too. And that's in a different context though. But yeah, I can't remove all those things. So if you will understand what I've been saying for years with this open, I changed the open to this opening I use. Those are the things that were going to be used to scare us a lot and be around for a long time to do that. So energy starved. This guy says use less energy. Von der Leyen says just don't eat. That's the cheapest food you're going to get. So why is it only 1% of the U.S. petroleum products needs that we have come through the Strait of Hormuz, and the U.S. is the largest oil supplier with its own refining capacity, this guy? Why should people at home suffer scarcity and increasing prices? Or that Trump thinks higher prices for you is okay? Sounds like removing the Electoral College and conceding a state's votes to the national popular vote, in this case of oil price plunder consensus, maybe the founding fathers did have a better idea, even though today people are not too intelligent to appreciate it. As the U.S. slowly inches closer to ditching the Electoral College. Woke direct democracy, don't you know? Now, real ID enhanced. Well, the people of this country are really and so stupid. That's STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. Virginia joined 17 states and D.C., a district, not a state, in signing a deal to award electoral votes to the winner of national popular vote. The push to effectively sideline the Electoral College just picked up a significant boost from Virginia. The Guardian reports that Governor Abigail Spanberger on Tuesday signed a bill tying the state's electors to the winner of the national popular vote, making Virginia the 17th state, parenthetically, plus Washington, D.C., to join the national popular vote interstate compact. How is D.C., a district, able to enter an interstate compact? And you may have just run to the front of the class to understand the occupation we live under in this country, but neither here nor there. It doesn't seem to matter to most people. This move brings the group's total to 222 electors, 48 short of the 70 needed for the arrangement to take effect. Under the compact, member states would all award their electoral college votes to the nation's popular vote winner, regardless of who carried each state. And oh, the drastic increase in the price of produce in Europe isn't because of Trump's confliction or because of any lack of fuel, fertilizer, or food thereby. It's not even because of climate change. It's because of extreme cooling this year, not global warming, as Ursula would have you believe, because climate change is not about the weather. And by any excuse, you will enjoy increasing expense of scarcity and sustainably develop. That's why you pay more in the land of plenty. Now go vote yourself out of that pickle you can no longer afford. And to make less of you to vote because the trillionaire class needs bodies to fight to their profit, eligible men will soon be automatically registered for military draft. To be fair, this is already in about 46 states. You heard that before. You only need 200, you know, they only have 222. They need 270. They got it. They don't know big votes here, just action. And so here we are, already 46 states, if you haven't understood that. We've already been creeping this along, the creeps. But the feds don't want to leave any men behind, so the cannon fodder net is being cast wider It's also a felony not to register if you are eligible. So first off, find out what eligible actually means. Then find out if you consider yourself ineligible, what to do to make that record. And again, this is not something to toy with. Understand what you're doing and earnestly go after it with a conviction that you're correct. And if you can be exonerated for a mistake of understanding. I'm suggesting if you learn better and you have the right vocabulary and you have an earnest intent behind what you say, this is the little clause you always see, may be found in felony liability. So if you come with an argument that is valid or plausibly so, you can press it forward, and then you have just delayed the time that you would have had to get in, and with they'll give you the better understanding. Otherwise, you become one of those people that actually stands up and will show how there's an unstated rule or need in the exceptions that is not being met that you can force through for yourself, and then that becomes for the rest. And you'll see a bit of that when you read through the reasonings. There's no self-interest that can be involved here. In other words, it's like an equity action. I've talked to you about this stuff. The equity action, it looks to the greater good. So you're going to have to be up against the greater good, but you can come up with a better greater good. And I think it can be done. I've got a couple of reasons. And it's based in really what the government's doing when we went to what they're talking about, going to a religious wars and going after the clerics. As I've been talking to you about, I've been mentioning all this stuff partly for a reason. It isn't just nothing I'm talking about here. And here we have it. Currently, eligible male U.S. citizens, again, these are terms, I know it's coming out of the NUSTIS, but these are terms, you'll go find them, you'll find these in the code. Oh, these words are terms of art, if you will. They're turned to legal, and you need to understand what they're doing and really qualify whether or not you may or may not be. I'm not saying either way. I'm saying you better understand if you're not going to be this thing that they're going to want to presume upon you. That's the trouble. The government has the power. But currently, eligible male U.S. citizens ages 18 to 25 are required to register through the Selective Service System online. To fill out the form, and here you have the plug-in to the Siberian Gulag, don't you? Online. What if you can't get online? They all presume that you have a phone and you're going to get online, and you've done it. And this has been, I've been talking about all this stuff, how they get this walking in, and we get our suggestions, and in your phone, just having your phone, there's enough there to create and qualify that you are a U.S. citizen, and then you'll tell them that you're a male. How interesting is that? They get you before you get going. Why this is so serious to understand, and why be very careful. I'm not saying do not. I'm going to the conscientious objector status and doing that. If you watch what's out there and you don't want to go to fight for someone else's wars, but this is a very serious business when you get involved in all this. So have your, if you will, the ducks in a row and your I's crossed and your T's dotted, right? No, you want those I's dotted and those T's crossed. You fill out the form online now. So they got you already by your contract to get the service. If you didn't already know that, go look very carefully. That's why I say you read your agreements with these companies. To fill out the form, men are required to provide their full name, home address, date of birth, and social security number. And this discussion is not exhaustive, but I'd like to point out a couple of things that people take for granted and assume without study. Some would find these points that I'm going to suggest to you frivolous. Authorita will insist that these are frivolous. My experience is, though, they are not. And even though there's an imposition, an insistence, you have a reason, a good reason, why you can believe what you think you believe. And that has a power. And you need to bring that. And it can't be a frivolous reason, as I keep talking to you about it. Understand what they're looking for. Understand what they're talking about, and have a different reality that is the reality, actually, and yet you be there. So my experience is if you do that, it works out different. They can insist, but you're going to have a word in your mouth, as I say. And we assume generally too much and admit to things we don't understand, nor in a question, nor do we challenge what the government assumes for us. Just as this law did, transferring, if you read carefully, this is very interesting stuff I see here when I'm reading through. I don't know how much people appreciate what they're seeing in these things. Maybe they just look away, or, I'm getting close to 18, or I'm going to have to do this, or reminded to do it. I find great interest in the wording of how this thing works out, and it means something. That, or when you think about it, it must mean something. It has a meaning that they've done it. Just as the law, this law transferred an obligation to a government agency that was in what only can be described as a current government property, what you erroneously identify as being you, even if it's a legal entity identified by the records in the federal jurisdiction, you got to keep track of these jurisdictions too. What are they covering? As I just said, commerce is the sole territory of Congress. The states implement it, but it can't be contrary to Congress. Consider all that. Consider what they're getting to do when you fill out these pieces of paper. Anyway, so I've talked about a lot of this. This is, gets me to focus in on it, on a very important subject matter. The draft is coming to be automatically, not the draft is coming, the Selective Service Registration is automatically coming to put you in. So consider this relative also to this federal jurisdiction. And then what's, in looking at the standard there, the full name, what's a full name? Is your family name your name? And I'm saying this in anticipation of what we all did and do, anticipating that our names, our families attached to what we thought was our name. Is the family name your name? And when they say full name and they ask for the family name, is that really you then? And if you're just talking about you, is a full name relevant to you or in that federal jurisdiction? Well, inquiry minds would have to know in order to form an intent, wouldn't they? But if you've done the study, you can start arguing, and if it's an argument, I just come with the facts. This is not me to expect that I needed to. I'm not that thing. And anyone acting without disclosure of that knowledge would be committing felonies. I'm talking about the government side. If they're acting without the knowledge, would be committing felonies to act under color of authority without a disclosure or a lawful warrant to affect you in your property rights, such as being free from forced association with them. So there are questions that need to be answered before acting or in challenging an action that deprives you of rights or prejudices those rights. What records have you made that might give the impression of a fact or that needs to be denied or corrected when asserted against you? The eligibility that requires a home address. Given a home address is the home office or situs of a legal entity, do you have a home address? Again, this is not flippant stuff. You have to analyze this and make these determinations and look with a cold, steely eye that says, if you can, I don't have a home address, and be able to prove that out, because that's going to be on you. But if you are not a legal entity, isn't simply that you're without a home that would not comply for eligibility? And take note, I didn't say homeless. It's somewhat critical to understand how this works. I said being without a home. The government talks in commerce. The government talks in business. The government talks in corporation. We all complain about it, but we don't separate ourselves from it. And we think that the whole, everything you see is based in all that commerce and all that kind of stuff and all their fiat. And we think any part of that is us, we messed up. And they've left a very, very small thread of a connection to what's other than these jurisdictions. But I'm not giving the answer here. When you see it, you'll see it. You do the study, you'll find it. I did. And I'm giving you some clues here. And this is not a game. But this goes on beyond the Selective Service. This is you coming into the world and they're going to want to take you out with a potential and maybe likely draft going on here. So I, again, didn't say being homeless. I said you're without a home. We're looking at a home situs, business, corporate home, tax home. Did you create one by accident? These are the problems with the federal records. So homeless and being without a home is a big difference. So research to find out that the situs of the legal entity is the home state where it's registered and the address of which for legal mail is a residence address or home address, as stated is required here for this thing. If you're without a home, how are you to have a home address? Which you've done and don't know it, likely, is you filled out a bunch of government forms that said you were. And I've gone through this forever on my broadcast because it's been so important to try and get people to become aware of this hang-up, this little thing we do to ourselves. And I don't get much turnaround. A few of you do. A few of you see it. It's pretty astonishing when you see it. But so few do. And that's part of our problem. So if you're not a legal entity, or what might be described as being without a home, why would you admit and confess to having a home address when you see the list of the requirements? What is the alternative to having a residence or home address at the post office? I've mentioned it before quite a few times. How is it I can and do assert without guilt of conscience that I have no residence or home address, yet receive material sent through the post office? They call it the Postal Service now. That's a big deal. People don't appreciate these suggestions that the government's telling us. But within the Postal Service, there's a post office. It's represented by one thing, and it's in their rules, if you know what you're looking for, which means you have to read. I know, boring and dry, but that's how they made it. So you need to research enough to know these things. This is not a game. I'm not trying to tell you this is a loophole. This is a status shift. Whether you're going to get it or not is up to you, partly and partly the occupier. Because you'll need to know how to deny you have these things that indicate or confess the evidence of your eligibility, or you'll need to correct the records that will be relied on by the SS Gestapo War Crimes Department Selective Service System, where there is some error. Now, you've heard of the Fifth Amendment, correct? Right? Yeah, it's there, and it's working against you all the time. And we don't appreciate that. We say it doesn't exist, well, because you've done something, and there's nothing to exist for you. And that's all of us. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I've done all the problems myself. So then you learn to withhold that knowledge, and you flip the burden to the alleging authoritar when appropriate. I say when appropriate. It's very important. You've got to hold your cards until it's time. You don't want to give up too much, but you don't want to do anything. You want to demand that they had it right, so as to verify its claims to avoid felony charges, that they would avoid felony charges for essentially defaming you to gain advantage or deprive you or even destroy your rights. Because if you are the government's property, and the federal code presumes that you are, that's true. Go find it. Given the record evidence, you have no property. You are property, and you'll like it. Right, GI? Right? You guys know that? You know that. In this regard, existing public records are crucial to not make or to correct if improperly made, or for mistake or fraud or some other lawfully or legally cognizable exoneration. You'll find those, some of those, most of them, in those UCCs. Don't get lost in the UCC. Just go find out what they'll use for removing an act that you've done. I tend to like to go through mistake if I can't hit fraud so hard, so easy. And sometimes that fraud has to be determined by someone else, so don't worry about making a mistake, I've told you before. Call it out, say what it was, and then have the reason why you're shifting. And correct it, have them correct the record. And if they don't, there's a find out what penalty to you, what wrong to you it will be. Now you've created a cause. But it's all paperwork. You're not going to court. So if you've got a record out there, you've got to go find and take it. It's been understood. You have to undo what has been done in reverse order to get rid of it. Properly so. This is the way it works. This is how a commerce system and paper system works. And the evidence is so important here. And they take silent judicial notice of all this stuff. And so you have to be aware of it. This is a whole really complicated way to go after this, but that's the trap they've set us in. And then you consider, for those whom got a Social Security number, whether by force or in ignorance, is a Social Security number a full name, your Social Security number, or that of the government, when posed with questions, what is your Social Security number, by someone. So they ask you, if you look at that, they have a full name on that card by your application. See, this is a problem. But they ask for a full name. It has your family name attached to you somehow. But you're not, that means you're not separate, right? It's not you. It's this fiction they've created. And they're tracking it through the family name. But is that your Social Security number? Or is it the government's? Which brings up the question as to the appropriateness for when you respond. That would be when you get a notice, correct? And this is a little tricky one for this law that's coming in. It exists now. It's not that it's changing too much. It's just that it shifts and transfers the obligation to register to someone else. You didn't have a choice in that. Think about who you, what you think you are and who they think you are when they can just take away and do something for you, for your benefit. And that becomes a liability that they even did that. I don't know if anybody appreciates that either. All these laws are for your benefit. Think about that. Even the bad ones we think is bad, that's for your benefit. So those of you keeping up here at this point, that means you are already behind the eight ball and will need to correct the records when the government reasonably believes it sent the notices to the proper home address as they're coming. And are you certain enough then, as you do the research, in the facts to respond to that mail that it's misdirected and to demand the agency correct its records or explain why it won't? And you're setting up a different record for this purpose. And I've talked about this method of doing this when I was telling you about the U.S. Forest Service and how they started messing around with this and the mining claim and all that, and how I set this up and how I set them up in the reverse notices and the BLM. That's imperative to start understanding how to do this. And you set it up right, and you set a record that doesn't condemn you. You set it up that they failed to do their duty. And they can't just walk around a fraud. They have to really start bringing the evidence for you. And so you explain, have them explain why not. And then by what evidence, why it will not if they won't, is also a demand. If the address the notice was gathered from, let's say the Social Security number application, you know, all these applications we fill out, these appliques we fill out to stick it to ourselves, are you certain enough in the fact to say, I don't have a Social Security number, notwithstanding that you don't have the Social Security number? Because why? It's the government's, like a driver's license. It's not yours, it's the state's. It's an evidence of your compliance and request and acceptance by the state of your application for the laws to apply to you, is what a driver's license that you get in your hand is. It's the state's. So do you have a driver's license? Well, in the same case, do you have a Social Security number? When you find out it may have been a mistake to do that relative to when they're going to say that you're a citizen and have a duty to go die for some third, fourth party, fifth party, new type of situation, the Great Reset, whatever. What are you going to say? What word is in your mouth will be dependent on what you've studied and how well you've studied it. So then you have to assert these facts despite the fact a number which you thought was solely for you was actually to a legal entity, a fiction, in other words, with a full name that includes your family name, your entire family, not just a single man, as they talk about in this law, not merely the name you use for yourself alone, but of the entire family, to be able to completely deny it's you, you yourself. That name, when you go see, when you listen, and I found this in numerous applications, they'll ask you and they'll show you that the name that you put down, that typically will be a last name, they call it, and they sometimes put that last name first, is actually a family name. It's misdisclosed that it says a last name. It's actually a family name. Is that you? Or is that the family? So this is the interesting problems that creep up that allow you to make a statement that says, no, this is a fraudulent record. It doesn't represent me. So it's not merely the name you use for yourself alone, but that entire family that they're trying to get you to assume. And that is a legal fiction that you attach to yourself. Apply. You apply for that. The applique. Now you're registering. It takes the application. They apply the registration to yourself. All governments work like this. So am I making sense so far? If you're thinking this along, not again. It's not an action. You're just listening. Are you following what I'm saying? Because if I'm not making sense to you, you have a lot to learn, even to challenge what I'm explaining against me, if that's what you wanted to do, which would be fine. I don't know where that's going to go. You get maybe better understanding. I would hope I'm correct enough that you would get better understanding than I would get corrected, because I'm wasting a lot of people's time if I'm not correct here. Again, my experience has shown me this to be correct. The things that people presume upon themselves that aren't so, or arguably so, but without argument or challenge. But you would die for things they know that you never, the people here, never understood. To go to war by or for fictions under color of fictional duties, for fictional causes that no one questioned, or more properly so, as I say, behind the woodshed. Get a better word in your mouth. Make your challenges more in tune with the black and white. Make sure that you at least make a good faith challenge and record in a record that comes in before doing anything or allowing anything to be done for or to you, as in what this thing seems to look like. So how did you determine your eligibility when I asked you, are you eligible? Is a legal question. In other words, the black and white will explain that unless you have the necessary imperfections, I would guess they are, to what's required. The terms used are legally defined in and by a jurisdiction that you do not naturally exist, but by its statuses you can assume upon yourself. This is your choice, your consent. So then you would ask, upon what adequate and sufficient informed knowledge have you formed the basis for proper acceptance or action relative to eligibility? That's an interesting question to present right up front. I've not been given enough information to know that that's me or not in some regard. And what are you doing? How does the government determine eligibility for automatic registration? Well, it's in the article, as I said. The Selective Service System, the federal agency which oversees the database of men eligible for service through integration with federal data sources. Might that include the state sources subject to federal funds and obligations and oversight too? There's a lot to have to keep up with when you're a young man or woman. I certainly didn't. Don't think that I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent. I didn't know anything all about this. I've only learned this in the last 30 years. So now what? Now we have to roll up our sleeves. For all you all that are whatever generation young, you really have a lot to get ready for. You have better insight than many of us would have, but you're not going to be able to do it as a spectator. They're now actively registering you to go to a potential draft to go to war. Means you're what when you don't have a say in that? Should shock you. But it's the truth. You can't deny that. It's there. It's happening. So I say, protect yourself, gird thy loin as best you can. A good faith, understood response is going to be better than blah, 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 or just saying you got rights. That's not going to fly. You have three things that you can't do, and one of them, you'll see, I want you to go read the article or go get the law. It tells you there, you can't have a self-interested reason. No, you'd be looking at the bigger principle that's being violated, the law that's being violated, the things that they did automatically on presumption without your ability to refute, that's a due process violation, or the things they presume that may not have been so, or the lack of ability to correct the records that were integrated in the federal database. Can you hear Palantir right here? Can you hear Oracle right here? The databases that's now coming down upon us and the young ones coming through? Talking to everybody now right there. A lot of us don't have anything to do with this Selective Service anymore. But those of you that don't anymore, you went through it, you saw it, you saw what was going on. you apply what I'm saying, you have a word in your mouth to help the youngers. Am I saying that you, just abandon maybe a real duty to protect your homeland, your motherland, whatever the heck you want to call it, your country? No. But it has to be real, not made up, like we see irrationally, climate change, don't you travel less? What happened to the land of plenty there? Where were we to defend that no one else seems to be? And all of that is before you get to that conscientious objection, which comes after any draft, or maybe even an enlistment, if you change your mind. But yeah, we're not quite to that conscientious objection, and I'm kind of touching this. I've had a few people asking about it. I've seen things being posted on the internet, so it's becoming more of a thing. This is now becoming real for people. In a way, it's not much different than some people were showing themselves susceptible during the great COVID swindle, which is ongoing. Because I was trying to explain how you approach that. How do you get this surprise? They put it on you. They impute you with this ability to be an infectious principle. How do you actually start to throw it off? And I explained this as well. Again, the methods are all the same. They're the same way you respond to these essentially lies and frauds that are attempting to take you away. Aha, I guess. So research here then to know what needs to be asserted or done and held for the conscientious objection so you're not duped like the COVID swindle people. Because those types need people to use the war machines Trump anticipates he needs to conquer the world for Israel. Pentagon, the U.S. War Crimes Department, taps U.S. car makers for weapons production. Just out of the blue, folks. Where's this stuff come from? Washington has reportedly approached General Motors. Is that General Washington? Is that President Washington? Is that the state of Washington? How funny, we just enter in Washington. We know what it's talking about. And then they don't explain. It's a district. And it's not it's a thing. It's an inanimate thing. It's a fiction itself. Fascinating, right? Washington has approached General Motors. Really, not likely. But Washington has reportedly approached General Motors and Ford as it seeks to expand military output amid ongoing conflicts. Does that sound like we're going to go to a peaceful future, folks? The Pentagon has approached major U.S. car manufacturers General Motors and Ford about producing weapons and military equipment. General Motors already supplies military vehicles to the Pentagon through its GM defense unit, while Ford has no major military contracts. The discussions reportedly involved senior executives and focused on whether and how quickly civilian factories could be redirected toward producing munitions and other military supplies as Washington seeks to replenish stockpiles depleted by the Ukraine conflict and the war on Iran. There you go. That's what we wanted. More wars, right? The peace president? Sure. GE Aerospace and vehicle and machinery maker Oshkosh were also involved in the talks, which began before the Israeli-U.S. war against Iran started on February 28th. Officials have cast the push as a move to put industry on a wartime footing, the outlet noted, invoking World War II era mobilization when Detroit automakers halted car output to produce bombers, aircraft engines, and trucks. So Chevron tells you, use less energy, travel less, conserve, folks. What are they setting us up for here? What are you little ones being registered for? The war against Iran has significantly strained U.S. weapons stockpiles. The American military has launched more than 850 Tomahawk cruise missiles during the first 4 weeks of the campaign. The rate has prompted alarm among some Pentagon officials. While the U.S. Department of War does not disclose the exact or numbers of Tomahawks it has, analysis suggests that before Operation Epic Fubar, the U.S. Navy had between 4,000 and 4,500 such missiles. The U.S. President Donald Trump has requested a record-breaking military budget of around $1.5 trillion tango dollars for the 2027 fiscal year, up from nearly $1 tango trillion dollars, according to the administration's budget outline. Go back to the CAFIR. You go back and find out the budget. It's a line item and all this other value that's going on, and they want to tell you that your taxes are going up. partly why I think Trump came in and said he can get rid of the taxes, but because it's not needed, as you would hear Clint Richardson explain to you about the CAFR, the Comprehensive Financial Report. The proposal includes more than $1.1 trillion in base defense funding alongside additional allocations tied to ongoing military operations. I said all going back over to the Middle East, or are they going to build them somewhere else? The war in Iran is costing the U.S. government roughly $2 billion, bravo dollars a day, former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene claimed on Thursday. Independent online tracker War Spend estimates that Washington has spent nearly $48 billion on the conflict since its start. But you conserve, right? You will conserve. And it's best just not to eat. That's the cheapest food, right? So we've been saying that they need a war to cover how bad they've plundered the economy in our lives over generations and to reduce the populations, haven't we? Pretty clear, pretty set up. What is going on? Seems kind of obvious to me, if it's not to you. And for those of you that might be subject to selective cannon fodder, but consider you need to follow a just and more peaceful path, or a path more in line and not contrary to your firmly held beliefs. So you want to go find out what I just said there, firmly held beliefs. It's not something you just frivolously throw out there. It's supported, and you'll see that it also requires that you've had some time before you get here, that you practice what you preach, if you will. And though I didn't qualify this post, that I'm going to send a link to you in the broadcaster, but noticed it's not the only group offering help that you might be able to locate, if I'm a little off on my suggestion here. If you're a service member being ordered to prep for deployment for the war in Iran and you have moral and or ethical misgivings on all this, which I found misgivings was interesting, a little bit less standard there, but if that's what they'll allow, that's what you go with. Here's some help. Remember that you have a right to apply for conscientious objector status. Call the GI Rights Hotline at 1-877-447-4487. And that, to introduce you that are not yet government issue GI, to alternatives to automatically going to fight in what appears to be universally unjust wars, as we're seeing this over and over. Research these options to fully understand them, obtain the right phraseology to best set your foundation to affect your will during these dangerous times where it appears the insane have completely taken over and run this asylum now. Not even a little bit, not even just a hope. No, it's a complete thing, right to the rooftops. And I don't intend any slight to or diminish this obligation that we're said to have. And it seems to me there's a difference in its application. It used to be you understood the threat, you went. You just went because it was a principal thing to do. You didn't have to be drafted into it. And then by my sense, till you learn more, false pretense, under false conditions. Again, you grabbed your gun and you went. It wasn't a question to you. They don't do that now because the whole thing is different. Now they got to drag you and drag you and drag you until they get you there, unless they can do it to you before by their perception management principles that they work on that work oh so well, and that's not a slight either. That works so well. You have to do what you have to do, but do what you have to do. If you understand that, don't get yourself in trouble with this. I would offer, if you are faced with a draft and have no other viable avoidance, consider enlisting before that. With a plan, have 3 or 4 things you want to get out of the military and focus your agreement of service to attain those things. And talk to people whom have enlisted that can help you in this regard. That way you make the decisions. You don't just get pulled in and put where you're put. This is the approach I took early on. Instead of being drafted or I was going to go ahead and decide to enlist, but with a plan, so that when I went through, I came out with something I could use. That's not real easy to do when you go to the military. Now, back to the draft, though, pre your ability to do conscientious objection, it has been a very long time since I've read the Selective Service Laws And also, don't forget those rules, the CFRs. So I won't attempt to pretend I have any better insight to offer than to start with the articles that I've been reading today. When you read them through, you can see and get direction of where to go and what to go look at to prepare you, your engagement with the government, if at all. Again, they're going to do it automatically. Do you want to engage? I don't know. But you might want to. You might want to be prepared. You might want to at least get something under your belt about how this all works. And if a conscientious objector status is conceivably in your future after the draft, and being most cannot escape the draft, prepare for a conscientious objector status now. And there's some steps that you need to take. You need to understand. Again, it's reading. If you can watch videos, in fact, you might have some videos that will tell you about that if they're true. You best go down and see the laws and the rules and you find out what this is all about and get your eye in the black and white and see what's going to be expected from you. The current descriptions for conscientious objection say, in the event of a draft, a man can file a claim for an exemption as a conscientious objector if he has a religious or moral objections to war. Quote, a man's reasons for not wanting to participate in a war must not be based on politics, expediency, or self-interest, the SSS outlines. Quote, in general, the man's lifestyle prior to making his claim must reflect his current claims, close quote. So that appears to be something that you will have to evidence and something to check the elements for to evidence. And before the time, it is explained that almost all male citizens and male immigrants between the ages of 18 and 25 are required by federal law to register with the SSS within 30 days of either marking their 18th birthday or entering the U.S. So you think that immigrants don't have rights? No, they got duties too. See, they have rights and these duties. And they say that it's required. Are you the exception? That's what you're looking for, or might you be? You have to go see. If you're not, don't try to press that and make it up. If you can, and it becomes part of your being, so to speak, your complete devotion to that knowledge, until they can correct it, it should stand. Men who fail to register can become ineligible for state financial aid and state and federal employment. So there's your connection to the state. As I said before, it doesn't look like it. Your state paperwork is the evidence that they're using against you as well. Most people don't understand all this stuff. Well, I didn't. You just go do what you're told. It's the way it works, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. In the case of male immigrants, U.S. citizenship, failing to register or aiding and abetting someone to fail to comply with registration requirements is also considered a felony and is punishable by up to $250,000 fine and 5 years imprisonment, according to the SSS. And what is a question to me is, and you need to find this out, where the obligation is transferred to SSS, but the obligation still exists in the male citizen, so-called, except those exempted, how can one fail to comply? To me, this seems like a black hole of liability, but you need to find out why and how and whether or not it does exist that way. How and when is it determined someone failed and is criminally liable when this transfer happened? Or where the SSS has made an error? And what is an accepted man, quote, who lived in the U.S. during the period but, quote, maintained a lawful non-immigrant status the full time? Isn't that every American man? Someone of lawful non-immigrant status? Being ICE, ICE can abduct Americans, even kill them without due process? We the people must be considered lawful non-immigrants for ICE agents, immigration agents, to maintain arrest authority, wouldn't you think? When everyone is now subject to immigration. Is that a good faith response? Because you are a lawful non-immigrant status, inhabitant, national, not subject? And this is not advice, but it's actually a lot of questions needing answered. But on the record, before a failure to register can be determined, and you'll likely see the federal rules, those CFRs, will have the due process for you to follow. But there's lots of things. Anybody have a thought about it can look into this and see what they want to do for themselves. I'm offering some things to think about. If those don't exist, don't try to push a bad position unless you think you can fortify or amplify or move, adjust what I've said. I'm bringing things that came to my mind that I'd want to have some more information before I went and accepted what was going to be happening to me. Again, that's that behind the woodshed thing. You take the miscreants. You have to first identify their miscreants. You do that by the black and white there to follow. They'll tell you, not that they're lying all the time, but does it actually apply? Generally, they will tell you that it applies. But when you start looking within, like, say, Title 8, was it immigration? Well, look at that. They have a bunch of definitions in there about this. Why is a non-immigrant, lawful non-immigrant? We're all non-immigrants if we're American males. We live here. Or what did they do with that definition? It doesn't matter. You might be able to press it. Because you just read the words and went on in good faith that they were telling you the truth right up front. They didn't define it in the words that you saw. You at least have engaged the system to prove itself is correct, and that it's actually you that they can get and not some fiction or some fictional thing or not some resident they've created, municipal resident out of the district they've created that has the duty to protect that district. And because in the continuing saga of stupid, that's a STOOPID for the hearing sensitive, U.S.'s very foolish double blockade of Hormuz Strait makes absolutely no sense. And here's why. Maybe we got to figure this out. Are they coming up with the draft? They come up with more military equipment. They want to build faster. Sound just like World War II and all the stories I've ever heard about it. And then they go and act foolish out in the world. Maybe you want to avoid that. Every step Washington has taken in the conflict with Iran to date has worsened its own strategic position, and the blockade of Iranian oil exports is no exception, says Center of Contemporary Iranian Studies Director Rajhab Safarov. Quote, this is a very foolish move on the part of the United States. With each passing day and every step, Washington is, quote, worsening, close quote, its own position and that of the many countries around the world for whom Hormuz is the lifeline to their economic existence, Safarov told Sputnik. Right. So Iran lets boats through, and then Trump's clown show spineless navy, not able to tell Trump it will not execute a lawless order. The Navy pirates interdict now those boats, interfering with their freedom of navigation. They were allowed through the Strait of Hormuz by Iran because they chose to comply with Iran's demands to keep their business going. Would be like the United States government seizing your company because you chose to pay ransomware instead of starving or adversely affecting your customers. In this case, the U.S. Navy is being used to adversely affect the civilian population of countries around the world, which, by the way, is yet another war crime, and stupid in the first instance. Again, STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. Makes no sense going in, and makes no sense going out. Nothing but a bad impression can come out of it, if not a lot worse. Blocking the transit of foreign vessels. You ever heard of such a thing? In the freedom of navigation argument that we put, and after the Trumpster fire declared the intention to keep the strait open. Who's blocking the strait now once Iran gives it's okay? It doesn't take an expert to explain the problem when anyone behind the woodshed can see it. So why can't Trump? What does Satan Yehu have on Trump? How compromised is Trump in any regard? Some say none at all. How stupid would that be even? Or does a narcissistic psychopath-in-chief have his hand on the tiller of the ship of state? Why does Trump depict himself as Jesus when criticizing the Pope for criticizing Trump's woke, right, Judeo-Christian warmongering? Meanwhile, quote, the Iranian position grows stronger, close quote, over time relative to others, something, quote, the Iranians understand perfectly well, Safarov said. Therefore, Tehran has no incentive to agree to or be bullied into a peace deal on American terms. got no cards, remember? This president has not had any cards. He plays poker without cards. He tells you he's winning, repeatedly. Safarov doesn't rule out that President Trump is being provided poor information on conditions on the ground by underlings like Secretary Hegseth and making statements and decisions that have, quote, no connection to reality, close quote. The Observer pointed out, for example, that Trump claimed Iran's navy has been destroyed. But it's the same navy that's now, quote, ready to sink any ship that might move toward the Indian Ocean without Iran's permissions, close quote. Well, I don't know this is totally correct, but Trump says he don't want to know, and he defers questions to his same questionable, even incompetent, if not agents of a foreign power within his administration for the answers. He doesn't even care to have any check and balance in place to protect the United States, let alone America, if it were important to him. Quote, Trump says the Iran's missile tech and launchers are exhausted or destroyed. But we see Iran launching more and more of this, of its missiles, more modern, more powerful ones, etc., Safarov said. The U.S. will ultimately be forced to fold, the Observer argues, because while blocking Iranian oil imports will hurt its economy, Tehran is in a position to survive. The effects of the Gulf exporters and major energy-dependent economies in Asia and the developing world will be far more punishing. Oil prices could hit $150 by the end of the week, with 20% of the world's oil trapped in the Persian Gulf. Quote, that means a fifth of the global economy will essentially grind to a halt, close quote. Therefore, it is conserved, folks, remember? The United States has all its refining capacity and produces all the world oil we need, but conserved. Therefore, quote, America risks turning almost the entire world against itself, close quote, Safarov summed up. Would seem so when blocking freedom of navigation, where insisting the right to travel needs to be protected from encroachment. Right? I mean, you've heard that here in America. You got the right to travel, right? And it's not. It's got conditions. Maybe you consider what your status is and what you might be living under. Maybe that freedom and not the free being free like we had talked, we had heard. And what I've been partially talking about is summarized in this article. Iran to charge ships from hostile nations to cross Hormuz. Washington should accept Tehran's terms or face a stalemate after its failed talks. Ibrahim Azizi told RT, Iran will levy tolls on ships from hostile countries crossing the Strait of Hormuz as compensation for damage caused by sanctions and U.S.-Israeli airstrikes, Ibrahim Azizi, the head of Iranian Parliamentary National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, said. Speaking to RT on Sunday following U.S.-Iran talks in Islamabad that ended in an impasse, Azizi said Washington should accept Tehran's terms because it needs a deal, quote, more than we do, close quote. And that many Iranians are unhappy that Tehran even entered into negotiations. Let me just touch again and remind you, the United States hit their leader, which was a cleric, which was a religious war now, galvanizing that country. The STOOPIDIST thing I've ever heard of being done. Especially with the NUSTIS that came before. Quote, when they need it, they should accept both the conditions and the prerequisites. If they don't, we'll do our work and go our own way. Nothing will change, he added. U.S. President Donald Trump has refused to rule out resuming, quote, limited, close quote, strikes against Iran after ordering a naval blockade and threatening to deny safe passage to any ships that have complied with Tehran's rules and fees for transiting the Strait of Hormuz. So what's the stomper of feet and chief beef with Iran anyway? This seems to me no different than the U.S. and state governments acknowledging everyone having the right to travel, then extorting the use of that right with a demand for licenses in compliance with regulations with payment of fees to do so. If Trump be right, then maybe we the people have a bigger beef with our own government and the occupying bar association compromised judicial branch over that government breach. Actually, whether Trump be right or wrong, we the people have that dire strait to deal with, and a lot closer than the Strait of Hormuz, and more relevant for sure. According to Azizi, a draft bill being drawn up in the Iranian parliament would stipulate that, quote, those who have caused us damage, those who are in fact liable to pay compensation, may only cross the Strait of Hormuz if they pay their damages in compensation, close quote. So whom has damaged us in our rights at home that need to be held accountable here, Glass House in chief? Referring to countries that have frozen Iranian assets, quote, on the orders of America, close quote, he said, quote, you made a great mistake by blocking them. Now you also want to cross this waterway? That era is over. But America didn't order anything. The U.S. did. I talked about that district. Don't conflate these terms. That's not merely a semantic distinction between the United States, the legal entity, and America, the euphemistic aspiration of we the people. Once approved, the law will require the government to establish a new, quote, management and control system, close quote, for the Strait of Persian Gulf, based on environmental safety, security, and services, as Azizi said. Any vessel wishing to enter would have then to pay tolls, quote, based on their national interests of Iran, close quote, with specific fees and procedures to be set later by the cabinet rather than by parliament. So just as your highways at home are open, so is the Strait of Hormuz, which is in part Trump's problem with that over there, but not over here, means that relative to making America great again, that Trump is not interested in making America great again, and never had been, as I've explained numbers of times in the past. MAGA, MAGA, is intended to be a campaign slogan and perception management tool. Just as I've been saying, it's proved out again today. This is BTWRLM 664. And better than the American public, Tehran remains deeply skeptical of Washington's intentions, even after ceasefire-related preconditions were discussed, Azizi said. Quote, we simply do not trust them, close quote, he stated, questioning how a country that, quote, elevates arrogance and colonialism to a guiding principle, close quote, could be expected to honor its agreements. No longer trusting, to Trump's great national disgrace, the one thing no one can afford losing, trust. And no amount of 6-7-D chess changes that. It wouldn't be anything that Trump is a loser at most everything he touches through his I don't need no international law, art of the deal, make them an offer they can't refuse Manhattan Mahler gangland threats. Except, this isn't merely his private affairs he's messing with. He is the President of the United States. But when taking actions contrary to being intelligent serves no one, certainly not some confabulated fantasy about some 6-7-D messiah savior and history, or her story, if you must, has a long memory. Remember, international law, it's norms. It's the memory of man in experience. It's not an authority more than the experience of man and how he correctly deals with things into the future. And then we hear this situation over there, lots of shaking going on, and these are stories about the Hormuz Straits are changing every moment, but they're not. They're only changing if you read Trump's social feed. Iran's saying nothing's actually going on, and they're maintaining the status quo. They're holding fast to the principles that they started with. And what's working underneath the skin keeps supposedly working. We have heard now that Trump prohibits Israel from bombing Lebanon. Out of all this, we get this headline. And this is a very telling condition. Israel will end its bombardment campaign against Lebanon after being prohibited from doing so by the United States President Donald Trump, he said on Friday. Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are prohibited from doing so by the USA. Enough is enough. Thank you, Trump said via Truth Social. On Thursday, Trump announced that Lebanese President Joseph Aoun and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had agreed to begin a 10-day ceasefire at 2100 GMT to achieve peace. Trump said he would invite both leaders to visit Washington and hold meaningful talks. Quote, the USA will get all nuclear, quote, dust, close quote, created by our great B-2 bombers. No money will exchange hands in any way, shape, or form, Trump said on Truth Social. So, just like that, Israel stopped bombing Lebanon. So Trump was in control of Israel and could have stopped the genocide in Gaza without his casino from the river to the sea, Kushner Water Theme Park, and Global Sustainable Development Board? Where was you during your first term, Trump? Now, do Israel's nuclear weapons and nuclear research facilities like you insist upon Iran? You want to claim an actual just war? Start with eradicating Israel, restoring Palestine, which even the British oppressor recognized Palestine, not Israel. We want our nuclear technology and equipment they stole and copied returned. We want the Christian, Muslims, and real Jews, so as they are called today, and the others to live together, largely peacefully, as they had for centuries, again, if you want to wage a just war. And though Iran's government is said to be a terrorist regime, the commander-in-chief of the United States has no qualms in threatening to violate the Constitution and his oath for the military occupation, which Trump is head over heels for, even if it means infringing constitutional rights. And while you all are treated as terrorists for the military at home, just like the Uniparty wants it, U.S. House extends controversial surveillance powers to April the 30th, approving an extension of a controversial provision of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, until April 30th. With Trump saying he's willing to risk giving up rights and privileges as citizens, quote, rights and privileges as a citizen, close quote, to keep FISA 702 in place, calling it something the military, quote, desperately needs, close quote, despite analysts saying it could largely benefit surveillance contractors like Palantir. Now remember, Palantir is already part of the Pax Judaica military-industrial complex, which is onshored in America, so-called, and is used to murder people. Again, Trump's okay with it. He's okay, oh, we're going to get rid of your rights. Constitutionally black and whited, he doesn't care about them. Supporters in the intelligence community and beyond say that this will help combat terrorism and foreign espionage. Critics argue that it enables mass electronic surveillance impacting millions of Americans who interact with foreign targets. And as we're hearing, also not. It seems to me supporters are likely agents of a foreign power that seek defeat of the American people, because these supporters don't seek to put Americans first. And it seems certainly time to be a staunch critic yourself and let Congress know that you need it eliminated, that 5702 section. This legislation does not save us from the people within the gates that attacked us and used that to put themselves in control, but brings us more vulnerable. And then you work to remove all the supporters of the FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, from office or influence. We can still do that. That still is a possibility. If you don't, it gets worse. And speaking previously in this broadcast of the lawful non-immigrant American, apparently subject to immigration arrest and abduction, county investigates ICE arrest of citizen in his underwear. Prosecutors look at counts including kidnapping. A Minnesota county is investigating the arrest of a Hmong American man by federal officers that was captured on video as a potential case of kidnapping, burglary, and false imprisonment, officials announced Monday. Ramsey County Attorney John Choi and Sheriff Bob Fletcher said at a news conference they will pursue information from the Department of Homeland Security for their investigation into the arrest of Chung Lee Scott Tao in January. Ramsey County includes the state capital, St. Paul. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers bashed open the front door of Tao's St. Paul home at gunpoint without a warrant, then led him outside in just his underwear and a blanket in freezing conditions. No one doubts that Tao is a U.S. citizen, Fletcher said. Quote, there's no dispute that he was taken out of his house, forcibly taken out of his home and driven around, he said, adding, quote, is that good law enforcement? To take an American citizen out of their home and drive them around aimlessly, trying to determine what they can tell them, close quote. DHS, which oversees ICE, has refused to cooperate with other state and local investigations into the killings by federal officers of Renee Good and Alex Priddy, two U.S. citizens, in Minneapolis during the Trump administration's immigration enforcement operation. Choi said they're trying to determine whether any crimes were committed that they could prosecute under state or federal law. Quote, this is not about any type of predetermined agenda other than to seek the truth and to investigate the facts, close quote, he said. Agents eventually realized Tao was a longtime U.S. citizen with no criminal record, Tao said in January. They returned him to his home after a couple of hours. Homeland Security later said ICE officers had been seeking two convicted sex offenders. Tao said that he had never seen the two men before and that they did not live with him. Videos captured the scene, which included people blowing whistles and horns and neighbors screaming at more than a dozen gun-toting agents to leave Tao's family alone. Lawful non-immigrant indeed, treating people like cattle. How do they treat cattle in Russia? Cattle crisis in Novosibirsk. Protests, calls, and controversy. In the Novosibirsk region of Russia, a state of emergency has been declared due to outbreaks of pasteurosis and rabies among cattle. This has led to a controversial large-scale culling, resulting in significant protests. Bells and whistles and horns, maybe? Authorities have promised compensation for farmers affected by the drastic measures. Oh, it's better than the United States, isn't it? Regional officials have sealed off affected villages to prevent disease spread, and government commissions from Moscow are in talks with local farmers. The Novosibirsk governor assured substantial financial compensation for those affected during the nine-month recovery period. But people can't eat compensation, can they? And then I'm reminded of all the bioweapons labs that were uncovered in Ukraine. And this next post has been apparently deleted relative to that story. And there's a video here instead. It was the next post from the one I was referring to where I'm reading illegal cattle culling. A real tragedy is taking place in the food supply chain. Novosibirsk region, Siberia, my hometown, as written by Inessa from YouTube. Municipal powers have authorized vets to intrude onto private property and euthanize farm animals under the pretext of a dangerous virus. Have we heard this before, folks? Cattle are not tested for anything, simply euthanized. It appears to be a rather smart virus that does not affect large conglomerate monopoly producers and is killing enterprise, the only income small farmers have. Sound familiar? Timing. Foreign policy and global events are overshadowing the story. Place Russia as the promised land of a GMO-free farming paradise. So, cui bono? This is a developing story. And the contagious animals that should be culled, though. Everything that has been happening for years around the U.S. financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein had to be in the focus of attention of Western intelligence services, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said on Tuesday. Quote, the monstrous long-term work of corrupting people, compromising material, blackmail, and so on, all this is in the center of the Western world. As you can imagine, it had to be the object of close observations. And what does it mean if you have to be watching closely for years? You somehow begin to influence the model, the situation, respectively, of the special services, Zakharova said in a meeting with students. Russia's negotiations with the United States are extremely difficult work under extremely challenging conditions. This is not routine work. These are not traditional negotiations. Everything is fine. We have standard relations. You came to us. Now it is on our turn to come to you. And so we see with these revelations, it's interfering with the negotiations of governments. There's a truth that starts to develop. Epstein and Rothschild sought to cash in on Ukraine's Maidan coup. And a lot of these stories I want to just tie together. I want to show you the underlying concern that I've had. And they touch things I've talked about over a long time. This was all working in the background. We now see some of the string pullers that were involved. And they're right here at home, wherever you live, it seems. A sex offender who represented the banking family claimed many opportunities would arise after the deadly Western-backed putsch in Ukraine. And remember, Swiss bankers Edmond de Rothschild Group, being global economy, free trade zone, sustainable development players, managers, and deciders in a free trade zone near you. Pedophile sex offender Jeffrey Epstein treated the 2014 Western-backed coup in Kiev as a lucrative business opportunity, newly released documents suggest. Right, Hunter Biden? The latest batch of Epstein-related files released by the U.S. Department of Justice last week includes emails in which the disgraced financier sought to encourage his contacts, including arraigned Rothschild and British billionaire Richard Branson, to cash in on the post-coup chaos in Ukraine. And you too, right? Brat Fink, BlackRock, you're all in there, right? All you financiers? In fact, Swiss bankers Edmond de Rothschild Group, headed by Arène de Rothschild, did take over the business assets of the first post-coup president, Pyotr Poroshenko, of the Ukraine. It later got its hands on Ukrainian state energy giant NAFTA, where it pulled strings and steered billions in state finances. All running at the same time, all running to defeat us and make a killing as they go and control and control. Epstein signed $25 million agreement with Rothschild Group in 2015. Jeffrey Epstein's business dealings with the Rothschild Group were far more substantial than previously known, according to a 2015 contract that has resurfaced publicly. The agreement, signed on October 5th by Epstein Southern Trust Company Incorporated, stipulated a $25 million payment for, quote, risk analysis, close quote, services. The document identifies the late convicted sex offender as president of Southern Trust Company Incorporated, a Virginia Island registered firm, and outlines a, quote, letter of agreement, close quote, between the company of Edmond de Rothschild Holding S.A., represented by Arène de Rothschild. Southern Trust Company was to collaborate with the Rothschild Group on a risk analysis and the application and use of certain algorithms, referred to collectively as specified matters. The agreement was signed several years after Epstein pleaded guilty in Florida to state charges related to sex crimes in 2008, a fact that has drawn renewed scrutiny to his business dealings and financial relationships following the release of additional records linked to Epstein. So sex crimes and the abuse of little girls or worse doesn't get in the way of business, you see, right? Right, his subversive business dealings and financial relationships, and Trump says nothing to see here, means there is an even bigger problem than most people seem to be focused on. And I think whether we are ever fully find out, we the people are reaping the whirlwind of these existing cyber financial geopolitical dealings and relationships without any checks and balances. And how could we with such an imbalanced, unrestrained, and apparently compromised president? And whether anyone else recognizes this, these financial dealings and financial relationships are a clear and present danger to us, to our society, by at least the Epstein class. And Trump wants it covered up. Can't make America great again. And I don't care how much 6-7-D chess you think he's playing. Quote, I wasn't friendly with Epstein, close quote, says Trump. Oh, and he didn't have to be familiar to pay attention with as much exposure he had to Epstein. U.S. President Donald Trump has denied being friends with Jeffrey Epstein, accusing the late convicted sex offender of plotting against him. And as I said, you keep your enemies closer, correct? Well, you should. The U.S. President's name is mentioned in files on at least 3,000 occasions, but I think it's actually about over 8,000 now, isn't it, since these articles were written? The documents also shown that Epstein, who didn't kill himself in a New York jail in 2019 and would have been awaiting trial on federal sex trafficking charges had communication with multiple high-profile figures, including former President Bill Clinton and billionaires Bill Gates and Elon Musk. The DOJ prefaced its latest release with a statement saying that the emails revealed no suggestion from Epstein that Trump, quote, had done anything criminal or had any inappropriate contact with any of his victims, close quote. According to the agency, the emails instead show the convicted sex offender frequently disparaging the president, calling him, quote, stupid, close quote, and questioning his mental fitness. Maybe Epstein did know Trump. And from prior 2025 reports, Epstein's role in Israeli cyber financing uncovered. So I wanted to go through a bit to get us prepared to come into the future that they want is coming in. It's these guys, at least some of these guys, and likely a whole lot more. Epstein's role in Israeli cyber financing uncovered. Okay, so what's Trump onshored as well? Put all this together. What's going on and what's in play? Newly discovered emails and documents paint a picture of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein acting as a key intermediary between Baroness Irene de Rothschild, CEO of the Swiss-based Edmond de Rothschild Group, and former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak in an effort of securing financing for Israeli, quote, offensive cyber, close quote, startups after Barak left government in 2013. The revelations come from two main sources, emails released by the U.S. House Oversight Committee on November 12, 2025, and a leaked inbox from Barak, allegedly hacked by the group Andala and published by and distributed denial of secrets. Investigative outlet DropSite News first reported the details, verifying key elements through cross-referencing with official disclosures. Neither de Rothschild nor Barak responded to requests for comment from journalists. The Edmond de Rothschild Group has previously described its interactions with Epstein as limited to legitimate consulting. Hey, it could be legitimate. I'm not going to deny it. This guy could be as pure as driven snow, but who is he talking to and what is that group doing in the world? It's confirmed here. The disclosures add to an ongoing scrutiny of Epstein's ties to global elites and Israel's tech sector amid broader releases of thousands of pages from his estate by the House Oversight Committee. Now, these are the sorts of things I was concerned was going on well beyond the salacious and sensational. And if you've listened to me for any time, you'll understand the sum of the problem and the scope of this problem. I'm sure with this much showing at this point, there's gobs and bunches more I don't know to be concerned about, but are playing as well. In other words, those things we don't identify can surprise us, leaving us with little, if any, preparation or anticipation, making much more difficult the proper response. And that requires that we develop more tools that will work for us to interrogate this problem, this lack of information, but what the deeds of these people are. And this is a little bit of the suggestion I'm doing early on in the broadcast. You're coming into a draft, start learning quickly about that, very quickly, about this registration, about the draft, about your conscientious objection, if you're going to have one. Be prepared going in and develop the tools you need to engage that. But to this, the Epstein situation, this is what I was concerned with. I don't know how Trump can dismiss this problem. And again, he can be as ignorant as anybody I've ever seen about these situations like the Rothschild Group, what they do with the free trade zones and how bad that is for America. You can be ignorant of it, but that's not going to be an excuse either, and particularly for each one of us. We need to be able to watch and see how that plays out and be able to, if we could, get enough people together, like they're starting to do with the data centers, shut them down. You see a free trade zone, you're coming in, you say, no, we're not going to put that burden on the people. We're not going to encumber them with more taxes and leverage funding to pay off all these rich people in order to make slavery within the zone and be protected from the local jurisdictions, even laws and protections that the people may need for crimes and whatnot. I've read about those discussions. But this is now coming through. These documents that I found all start to paint that picture. of what's been going on, who's been involved, and it's happening. It's not just, oh, some report and some story. Jeffrey Epstein brokered deals between Rothschild banker and Israeli defense minister. What's being onshored now in Palantir and all these other people? What's sitting in the administration, the president's administration? Elon Musk is mentioned. Gates is mentioned. They could not have done anything at all, nothing, and they would still be a danger being related to this situation here. A second set of documents leaked in inbox of former Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak sheds light on Epstein's efforts to leverage his friendship with the Rothschild to raise funds for Israeli cyber weapons development. After Barak's retirement from government in 2013, he recruited Pavel Gervich, the graduate of the Israeli Defense Forces secretive Unit 81 technology unit, to source cyber weapons startups from the Israeli intelligence community. Private communications between Barak and Gervich showed discussions about cyber weapons concepts inspired by the U.S. global surveillance apparatus revealed by NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden in 2013. Epstein pushed forward a plan to finance Israelis, quote, offensive cyber, close quote, startups with the hope of winning the Rothschild support. House disclosures show that Epstein and de Rothschild remained close in the years before Epstein's death. In a 2018 email exchange with former Obama White House counsel Catherine Ruemmler, Ruemmler met Epstein when he reached out after she left the Obama administration on behalf of the Rothschild Bank, asking if she'd represent them in an ongoing Department of Justice investigation into money laundering and tax evasion. Ruemmler accepted and helped negotiate a non-prosecution agreement. Both banks were implicated in major tax evasion and money laundering investigations during the same period. So accountability is going to be where with the status quo and of voting harder? And I've touched a little bit of this, and I talked about it, and I said it's inconsequential. It's just part of what was going on. The question, was Epstein a Mossad spy, or did he just look like one? The U.S. Justice Department's January release of over 3 million documents continues to stoke theories that convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein operated as an asset for Israel's Mossad. While no smoking gun has emerged, the tranches include emails amplifying Israeli political entanglements, self-aggrandizing claims of Jewish global control, and ties to figures like Ehud Barak and the Rothschilds. Let's add the Rothschild group, which does do the deciding for free trade zones globally. Those free trade zones are everywhere, in particular around the ports, which include your airports. No smoking guns, though? That looks like big smoke grenades running cover. Journalist Whitney Webb and former Israeli intel officer Ari Ben-Menashe argue Epstein's sex trafficking ring doubled as a blackmail honeypot for foreign powers with Israel at the center. New files also reveal Epstein coordinating a meeting with the current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu involving Barclays CEO Jess Staley, parenthetically later ousted over Epstein links, and investor Jacob Frenkel. A 2016 email to Palantir co-founder Peter Thiel states that Epstein, quote, represents the Rothschilds, close quote, and proposes involving their bank, parenthetically, with $160 billion Bravo dollars under management at the time, in tech investments. Thiel responds by suggesting a meeting in a New York or, quote, on island, close quote, parenthetically likely referring to Epstein's notorious Little St. James in the United States Virgin Islands. We talked a little bit about that, and the United States buying it from Denmark and recognizing their sovereignty and over Greenland. So, connected. Connecticut, maybe? No. Additionally, a forwarded 2016 email chain received by Epstein from Mark Rowan of Apollo Global Management details follow-up discussions between Apollo's Gernot Lohr and Cynthia Talbiano, parenthetically CFO of Edmond de Rothschild, on potential cooperation in financial products, including life settlement funds, capital-efficient investing for insurance clients, and a European financials equity vehicle. So right in time and line for those, quote, offensive cyber, close quote, cyber weapons firms and other cyber initiatives spoken of in this prior article, Palantir being one of the Epstein class cabal using AI to hunt people down and murder them, but it's also Trump approved in the United States. As to the topic of Jewish global control and spying, in a 2018 self-addressed email, Epstein recounts a dinner conversation in which he jokingly engaged with claims of Jewish influence over governments, ending with laughter and the word guilty. And the upshot of this is, the most recent Epstein files release expands the evidentiary terrain surrounding his contracts, methods, and proximity to power. That context sustains the Mossad narrative and encourages a deeper impulse to question more. And the last paragraph, a deeper impulse, isn't a fact unless it's there already, and you have some of this evidence, but it is evidence of the financial trail for global control, and by whom? Continuing. And of continuing concern for us. And from the Department of Let's Distract Everyone with Epstein and from investigating the underlying whole power corruption, U.S. Catholic Diocese seeks to settle 1,100 child sex abuse cases. The Diocese of Brooklyn wants to resolve the issue out of court to avoid, quote, emotional strain for victim survivors, close quote. Is there much more that needs to be said about the pervasiveness of this in our societies that continues? There's no evidence of Epstein sex trafficking or political corruption. I think we need to be looking at the stock market. The Pam Bleach Blonde Bondi supporting pro-Israel, meaning giving aid and comfort to the Zionist's resolution for her elected office, proclaiming, as it is reported, that, quote, the state of Florida stands with Israel, close quote, that experts say she could have prosecuted Epstein but didn't. And also didn't say that being Epstein was a global financier, an intelligence-associated agent, and being follow the money is not just a slogan at the FBI or with the DOJ, that by saying, squirrel, look at the Dow hitting 50,000, when asked whether she had seen evidence of Trump at Epstein's gatherings where there were underage girls, that because of the Dow inexplicably hitting historic highs, and just as precious metals suffered instant program sell-offs twice, that they were looking at Wall Street because the Epstein files provide probable cause to believe there is Epstein influence or associated official organized racketeering through the usurious fiat-driven and derivative market that Trump has ordered we investigate, arrest, or convict to stop the special interest national security threat through plunder in the America we are making great again. But all y'all in Congress and elsewhere taking advantage of that organized and racketeering influence plunder are going to take a massive hit to your portfolios when the arrests start happening, tanking the markets. Did not issue from her lips during her congressional testimony or to show her statements were not evidence of a combative incompetence cover-up or corrupt complicity. And despite 18 U.S.C. 3 or 18 U.S.C. 4, so don't hold your breath collectively or otherwise, expecting to see justice from the Department of Just Us. Right, Q, Islings? And also know, the raping, abusing, and dining on the young are not the only victims of the satanic or demonic woke cult parading as legitimate power, but everyone else that doesn't stop them. Because it is clear now, or should be, the government has been in on it, and the constitutional duty and obligation to alter or abolish the government corruption is not reserved to the government to fix itself, but to the people. This very constitutional obligation and duty used against you to license the raping, abusing, and dining upon the American people. So any revolution, so-called, is in each of you to solve that Gordian knot, whether singularly or mutually. And I've offered in the meantime, yes, there's very mean times. In the meantime, the answer for each of you, a choice as it were, if you please, is not to try to untie the knot, but slip the knot from the thing it's binding. the Gordian knot that captures us. Once you slip out, then you are at least not a complicit dupe as the war against good and evil reaches the end of history, and none here know that time when it is finished. So gird up thy loins now, you warriors after truth. You certainly won't get it from Bondi, the Trump gang, or those it is beholden to, if Trump saying, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it to heaven, slip by you. But not so fast. World Economic Forum, WEF, Davos CEO, Jorge Brende, quits over Epstein links. Jorge Brende has announced his resignation, making him just the latest high-profile person to fall over his connection with the convicted sex offender. The revelations prompted an internal investigation at the WEF and have now led to Brende's downfall. But WEF co-chairs Andre Hoffman and Larry Fink released a statement on behalf of the forum's board of trustees, thanking the ex-CEO for his service and claiming that the internal investigation found, quote, no additional concerns beyond what has been previously disclosed. And I think it is important to note that last year, the forum's founder, Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab, stepped down as a chair of its board after facing allegations of misusing funds and making inappropriate remarks to women. But not for the sensationalism, because there was never any prosecution and conviction. It's merely a house cleaning to protect the global vampire squid. The question is, the Epstein files exposed some contact with Epstein promoted as a financier, who, with any continuing influence, foreign or domestic, hadn't been untouched by Epstein's enterprising, that knew not to get involved, so that they would remain unaffected in the transition we're watching now to continue it. Two apparent rabid Zionist sympathizers intent on global financial dominance wrote the statement on behalf of the WEF. Are either of these people named in the Epstein files? If not, are we beginning to see the organizational structure and multifaceted operations to bring about the future that they want at your expense? Why is Cantor Fitzgerald's fixer in this White House leering over Trump's shoulder at every turn, influencing Trump to make stupid decisions such as relying on invalid law to impose tariffs that he can capitalize on and profit from? If Trump is so insistent on loyalty, why does he have someone in his cabinet shorting Trump, undermining the American people to the benefit of chosen few through inside dealing? Why does Trump allow such disloyalty? Can't be because Trump is actually too intelligent, or just intelligent enough to know Netanyahu has old Nick Deer by the farging boils, right, Roman Maroney? But that's not the end of the story or the importance of it. Showing the ongoing incremental encroachment against us through another global pathway and globalizing pathway. Russia pipes up about these WEF matters. Why? Why does it matter to Russia? Well, it's important to know that Russia's economic sustainability counterpart is Kirill Dmitriev. And Russia, using this bad guy, good guy canard to promote its path to the same sustainable development future that they want you to suffer, I mean enjoy, like you are said to enjoy civil rights, those extortions of every kind and no other, that like pains and punishments and taxes, to name a couple, that you are said to enjoy, and of which at sub C in that law, section 42 U.S.C. 1981, that no non-governmental organization may remove. Let's hear Russia weigh in to use Epstein's taint to whitewash and put lipstick on the sustainable pig. The latest scandal further tainted the reputation of the platform, Russian President Vladimir Putin's special envoy Kirill Dmitriev said after Brende's links to Epstein became public. All, quote, good people, close quote, should attend Russia's St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, SPIEF, while WEF can remain, quote, focused on discussing Epstein's legacy and the lessons learned from his network building, close quote, he suggested. Isn't that special? Let me put a finer point on this globally active deception. Dmitriev is sort of like another U.S. Jeffrey, a Jeffrey Sachs, a kindly guy we hear promoting all the time. Jeffrey Sachs is also an American economist and public policy analyst who is a professor at Columbia University, where he was formerly director of the Earth Institute. He worked on sustainable development and economic development. Kirill Dmitriev is an economic diplomacy. Dmitriev's strategy emphasizes, quote, diplomacy of business deals, close quote, aiming to entice foreign investors back into Russia. And this approach is seen as a vital for generating necessary funds and technologies to develop Russia's vast natural resources sustainably. Dmitriev is actively promoting Arctic energy projects aimed at attracting investments from Western countries and China. These initiatives involve the extraction and processing of energy resources and rare earth materials, which are crucial for modern technologies and sustainable energy solutions. Now, let me give you a little hint. As climate change is not about the weather, sustainability is not about continuing or sustained yield. And the clue as to the deception is seen where the commingling of sustainability with mineral resources. There's nothing sustainable about initiatives that involve the extraction and processing of energy resources and rare earth minerals. I've explained this before, long ago. It's to recall to provide some foundation to identify the deceptions of these deceivers' contorting language and context. Minerals are not like trees. Once a mineral is extracted, it no longer exists. Mother Nature has not provided an unlimited source of certain extractable minerals. Trees can be regrown, people can reproduce, but extracted minerals are not sustainable. What is sustainable is the global political policies to control those minerals and the earthlings that rely on them. But the technocrats direct the minerals to fulfill the machines that they want at your expense. Witness silicon going to electricity-hungry data centers, supercomputers really, to power AI that you will sustainably pay for them and their Siberian gulag digital panopticon for you. And this is what the Rothschild Group does in a free trade zone as well. And remember too, rare earths are all about the machines to advance the green technocratic future that they want. And Trump's disgraceful denials to the contrary notwithstanding, it another change agent exposed for those with the eyes to see. Additionally, what you crickets get is to be normalized to eat yourself, well, eat the bugs, right? Crickets? Soylent Green, modernized, normalized in part by the Epstein files. Though you don't think so now. The economics espoused by these two sustainable diplomatic alternatives is how economically the control can be done. It's been known to be very economical and sustainably so to get the slaves on the plantation to control themselves and call it freedom, freedom for the educated. Now, what makes America unique is extracted minerals are private property. That's not recognized any place else in the world that didn't transfer possession to the locator of the mineral. Like Russia, for instance, notice the unlawful encumbrance in America placed on private property by sustainable or common possession as an obligation called prosperity, perpetual debt, to an unproven idea or construct, things that are not actually reality. According to Agenda 21 or 2030 goals, notice without private property interest, due process is not required. No unlawful takings can be claimed. As Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab said, you have no property and like it, and whether you do like it or not, because there is no right to challenge. As I said early on, GI, government issue, you think that that's just soldiers. No, go look at what the government deals in, and it's government property. You become, the citizen becomes government property. You have no rights. They just do things. They just transferred a decision you thought you had to them. An act is decided to go to them. This is how they're managing their property. So if Trump were more than a compromised moron and intended on putting America first in more than a stump speech, why would he offshore mineral deals instead of supporting the miners at home? I mean, more than lip service provided to the Pomeranian faithful is likely the same reason during Trump 1, he didn't communicate with Jefferson Mining District to restore the obligations federal and state governments have in their obligation to protect and promote national resource producers. Not even a communication enough, despite four certified mailings, to send the thank you very much for your concerns and offer of help, but go to Hades letter. Despite all the sensational noise, the Epstein files are exposing a whole lot more corruption that it appears Russia is savvy to, enough to take the opportunity to exploit to suggest the good path to global sustainable perdition. The systematic exploitation and oppression of enslaved individuals stripped of autonomy and hope may be as endemically exposed in the Epstein files. Did you notice? But there's hope. More than hopium, I think. The protocols of Epstein's of Zion explains that they are vulnerable and more than the Achilles heel or Trump's bone spur. The answer is in us, and that they can't stop that or us once that choice is made. If you did notice, did you choose ye that day? Or still sitting on the sidelines rooting for the crickets content in the flourishing wickedness? Then how about choosing well this day? Because by your faithful fruits you are judged, not the nuts. Right, Roman Moroni? And despite the cattle callings, Russia will never eat insects, despite the WHF slander and the SPIEF embrace of sustainability. Bugs can only be used as animal feed in Russia, Yulia Oglobolini said. Food products made out of insects will never be offered to the Russian people, the deputy head of Parliament's Agriculture Committee, Yulia Oglobolina, has said. This can only happen in the EU, where the farming industry is in decline, she added. Last February, a European Commission approved a new food ingredient for human consumption made from dried and ground mealworm larvae and a young form of beetles. The move became part of the bloc's plan to introduce more sustainable protein sources, which allows up to 4% of the insect-based powder in products such as cheese, pasta, and jams. In Russia, we have nearly never eaten and will never eat insects. Never. It's out of the question. I'm saying this solemnly. Bugs are used exclusively as feed or fish and animals, she said. The Russian authorities will not change their stance on the issue, regardless of the findings of any studies into alternative sources of protein. The approval of insect-based food products in Western Europe only confirms that their agriculture is in shambles. It's so bad that they are now saying we should be eating crickets, bugs, and spiders, she said. Thank God everything is fine here. We have plenty of land, and that's why we are sticking to our real Russian food. And I keep reading this and saying, oh, they're so saying we're not going to eat bugs. Well, they do everything else sustainably, don't they? So this is like, here, I'm going to watch this hand while the other hand comes and steals your life, controls your existence. And the people in Russia, they have no understanding about property the way we do here in the West. Now consider here Tyson Foods teaming up with the Dutch bug breeder Protix, I guess more than crickets and Protix, then putting a bug in Trump's nicked ear, how much money can be made in bugs, that they'll give Trump a golden cockroach with his name on it, and then this trip to You Will Eat the Bugs and Like It WEF, where deals are going to be made. How long before Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab Eat the Bugs Schwabi is serving you dinner? Well, the news is, maybe that's being put on hold, as the world may be coming to its senses. But you thought cutting ties to 66 international modernization organizations means you aren't being invaded by global parasites, didn't you? Now, as I learned you behind the woodshed, Trump is the instrument of destruction, onshoring everything the globalista mob class needs to infect and consume your life from cradle to grave. Trump is that global change agent. For all you Make America Great Again Pomeranians, Trump is the new lord of the flies and other things globally sustainable. Yes, Russia would allow Pomeranians to eat the bugs, right? The authorities in Russia specified that products made from bugs were only intended as animal feed. That's what Trump thinks of y'all. He shot the veterinarian jab of the great COVID swindle too, didn't he? Remember? In any regard, his actions say nothing different. And you knows him when you sees him, right, Francis Lieber? Yay, Tyson Foods, you profit-mongering parasites feeding off the host of mankind using the greatest sales human, not president, the greatest sales human in the world. Right, Boeing? This has been BTW-RLM-664, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned.
Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.